Art Beat, we squeezed an extra guest, and so I'm just going to say welcome to Rena.
Thank you so much for having me today.
We just spent a lot of time learning about Laura, but you should introduce yourself as well. I mean, what do you do? What types of projects are you working on?
Terrific. My name is Rena Tobey, and I teach art history at Southern Connecticut State University. And I also am involved in a lot of different projects. I'm working on a new book called Painting Connecticut, about artists in Connecticut who made a significant contribution to American art by painting the people and places of Connecticut. That's fun.
Yeah.
I have a new game called Artventures, and that's a party game on the adventures of art and art history, taking all the seriousness and the scariness out of art for people. And then I do talks.
Great. I've seen, we've had Artventures at our front desk at the workshop, and I've seen the people sitting there playing, coloring, and doing all of the little activities in it.
It's very fun. It's very cheeky.
What's your art background? We've met before and we've spoken before, but I don't know whether you're a ceramicist or an installation artist. Where do you fall in that spectrum?
Dabbler and amateur. Yeah. So
proud.
Proudly.
That's great. But yeah. Art history.
Art history is really my field. Yeah. And I focus in on American women artists working before 1945. So I'm interested in the struggle to become a professional that women artists had to go through.
Right. Well, then that's welcome to Women's History Month.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I invited you here. And that's actually why the workshop is putting on this talk that you have called Finding Her Way. And maybe you could just introduce Finding Her Way as a segue into all of us talking about women in art.
Terrific. Finding Her Way takes a look at six paintings by six different women artists from 1850 to about 1950. And it tells the story of social and cultural history in the United States at the same time as looking at an individual work of art and an individual artist. So it really elevates to the story of what it means to be a woman in America yesterday and the implications for today.
Okay, who are the six?
Ah.
Is this a quiz?
This is a quiz.
Who are some of the six?
Well, I have to say that I spent a lot of time and my thesis working on Elizabeth Okey Paxton, and she falls right in the middle of the six time-wise. An early artist who is one of the more well-known, but most people won't know her still, is Lily Martin Spencer, and she has a rather tragic and hilarious story all at the same time that shows up in her paintings. And the most recent artist, who died only in the 1980s, is Isabel Bishop. And she was a really prominent person in establishing a voice for women artists.
I told you we'd quiz you, Laura. So those familiar, unfamiliar?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
The intellectual side of things.
Nice.
Absolutely.
So in this particular talk, you're covering specific paintings as a way of telling their story. I mean, what's the main struggle over this 100-year period? I mean, what was happening? What was art like? I mean, I don't think installation art. We spent a lot of time talking about, you know, this was a different time in some respects.
Very much so. And for women, the struggle was, how do I make a living from my voice in a society that doesn't understand women as doing anything other than staying in the home? So it was a radical thing for each one of these women to create art. And then the content of that art is radical as well. So even though it's not installation art, which may be considered radical for today, it was radical in their days.
Mm-hmm. And so politically speaking, I mean, just refresh my memory. I mean, what's happening at this period of time when these women are making what they were making and what they're now known for?
When Lily Martin Spencer was making paintings, it was not appropriate for a woman to go on the streets and go shopping. So if you needed to go shopping, you sent your servant, or else you were considered a pretty loose woman.
Mm.
She makes a hilarious painting of her husband doing the grocery shopping. And it is one of many paintings that Lily Martin Spencer paints that are very wry and very witty and very much a social commentary.
But with no backlash received, or was
plenty of backlash.
Okay.
plenty of backlash because she was known for her paintings that were beatific paintings of mothers and children. And that's how she made her bread and butter. But what she really wanted to do was tell a story that poked into the social mores of the day.
That's interesting. I mean, someone could easily paint a picture of me today doing the grocery shopping.
How would it look?
It's one of my favorite things to do. But, and then, I mean, we've spoken a little bit about this as well. And you said something to me that I thought was just sort of knocked my socks off, basically, which is that how can you as a woman make art today without maybe understanding the whole legacy that fed into that? I mean, it's hard for me to imagine art not being a female dominated world. I mean, at the workshop, most of our students are female. You know, as a musician, you know, you grow up, you know, it's the same trajectory where men were the primary members of orchestras for a long, long time. And that's completely shifted. So, I mean, go back to that. We had that discussion. We're like, how can you not know the history? I mean, what's so important takeaway wise for a female artist today to recognize about their predecessors and the foundation that they made?
Well, that they really stand on the shoulders of these women who had to fight a really basic kind of fight, a fight that said, I'm a woman and I can make an important piece of art, that this art is worthy of your consideration, because this was clearly not always true. And I know women today still very much struggle with equality in the art market. I don't begin to suggest that women are getting their work sold to the same extent or for the same amount as their colleagues who are men. And they could not be where they are. They could not draw the human body with any kind of background or schooling 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Women couldn't attend a life drawing class, couldn't draw a male model. It was not considered acceptable.
Right.
So if you want to be
true in higher education.
Yeah. If it's a real limitation for an artist to not be able to draw the figure, even if you choose to be abstract.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were at an art school, you were the one woman there. You can see all these photos from the 19th century of just like the one woman in the class of 50 men.
Yeah, there's a wonderful photograph by Thomas Aikens, who was a very famous artist, but also a very prominent teacher at the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts. And the women were in separate drawing classes, but they were not allowed to draw a figure that was a man or a woman.
Yep.
They're drawing a cow.
Yep.
And that was their life drawing class.
And men can draw actual figures. And
credit to cows where credit is due. They're beautiful animals, but I don't really think that's the point of
not quite
figure
the same
drawing.
Anatomy.
I don't think it's the same anatomy.
Pretty much not.
That's wild. That's wild. I mean, there's this statistic even today that I feel like flutters through my feed occasionally, and you both probably know it better than me, what percentage of art in museums today was made by female artists. It's a single digit, correct?
It is. Yeah, and we have the Gorilla Girls. Have you already talked about the Gorilla Girls?
Well, the Gorilla Girls are really important to bring up because they actually said no to the old dying model and the white male model and stood up for being represented. I think that often someone made a good point to me recently that feminism happens every 20 years because women spend most of their time community building in between those years and really paving the way for their work to be understood. And
so what was the time frame of the Gorilla Girls?
They're still working now. They just celebrated their 30th anniversary with quite a little splash. One of their first posters said, "Do you have to be naked to get into the Metropolitan Museum of Art?" How women get in. And they've since updated and they've broadened their scope to include more than women in their protests against the policies of having shows and purchases by museums. They're very relevant even today.
No, I mean, they should. I wish I knew about the cow figure drawing. That would be a really interesting, interesting form of protest that I had not considered. The recreation of that photo.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing one.
So, I mean, in light of that, and I mean, the talk, just so everyone knows, it's coming up next
Saturday,
March 26th, at Creative Arts Workshop, and you can register at our website, and that's where we'll go in depth with each of those paintings, but maybe we won't go here, which is sort of the question I wanted to ask, which is like, where does it go next? What in, if you were to update Finding Her Way, you know, so that it represents, you know, maybe 1945 to 2045, you know, where do you both see women in visual art careers or in museums or in curiosity?